Ele Handevarim. These are the words. Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael. That Moshe spoke to the entire Jewish people. Rashi right away is bothered by these words, Ele Hadevaril. These are the words. Are these the only words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Jewish people? All he's been doing in the last three books is talk to the Jewish people. Vaydaber Adonai El Moshe Lemor. Vayomer Adonai El Moshe Lemor. Moshe Rabbeinu is constantly been instructing Am Yisrael. What do you mean, Ele Hadebarim? These are the words. So right away that she says that these are the words, they're unique words. They're words that weren't given over before. Lefi Shehen, says Rashi, because they are Divrei Tochachot. The word Devarim doesn't mean regular commandments or instruction. Rather, they were words that were unique. They're words of rebuke. So Ele HaDevarim means till now Moshe Rabbeinu has been giving us instruction. But Ele HaDevarim, these are the words of rebuke that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, at the end of 40 years. This book of Devarim was written at the end of Moshe's life. And the end of 40 years. At this time, Moshe Rabbeinu decided that now he's going to give them words of Tochacha. And over here in the Pasuk, even though it sounds like it's talking about the location of where they were when he spoke to them, look at the Pasuk, it says, Be'ever HaYarden, when they were across the Jordan, Bamidbar, they were in the desert, Ba'arava, they were in the plains. Well, the desert is not the plains, and the plains, not the desert. Mol Suf, they were opposite Yam Suf, that's not where they were. Ben Paran, Uben Tofel. Even though it seems like the Pasuk is telling us the location of where he was when he spoke, but that's not what happened. As she tells us, that these locations were actually Moshe Rabbeinu's words that he spoke to the Jewish people about all the different mistakes that were made over the last 40 years. And he only mentioned the places, or he mentioned a hint so that they would get the message. He didn't want to outright tell them what they did wrong. So he mentioned the different places that would remind them, like it says, Bamidbar. What does it mean, Bamidbar, in the desert? They weren't in the desert, says Rashi. We're talking about what they did in the desert when they complained about different things. For example, Dizahab. Dizahab is talking about the Egel, the golden calf. That the cause of the golden calf was their gold that they made the golden calf with. As Hazan tell us, when people get wealthy and they have a lot of gold, they start to feel invincible. And therefore they're able to do things because of that money that they wouldn't have done otherwise. So anyway, Dizahav, the cause of the golden calf that was made from gold, was the amount of gold that they had. So bottom line, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and gives the Jewish people a report of all the negative things that transpired in the 40 years he was with them. I'm not going to go through all of them. I think everybody here knows. Here, Yam Suf, for example, by the Yam Suf, they were rebellious before they entered the sea and in the sea. The Midrash says that even in the Yam Suf, they were complaining. How could they be complaining when they're experiencing the greatest miracle in the history of mankind? How are they complaining? What are they complaining about? So the Midrash says they were complaining that the floor was muddy. The shoes were getting dirty. They didn't love that so much. It sounds a little crazy that someone experiencing such a miracle would complain about something so minute. But I don't think it's so hard to understand that the way of life of people, you could have a million things going good in your life and all you could see is the one thing that's going wrong. Bottom line, I'm not going to go read all the parasha, all the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, but I'm going to skip to Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud says, Adonai Elohechem hirba etchem. Hashem, your God, has made you great. He tells them, Hashem made you great people. Ve'hinechem hayom. And Rashi, it sounds like, it doesn't mean that you are today. He says, you are like the day, referring to the sun. Just like the sun is a staple in this planet, you're not going to have planet Earth without the sun and the moon that make up the day. He tells the Jewish people, you are as eternal as the day. The same way the sun and the moon are a staple, they're never going away as long as this planet is alive, is there. Am Yisrael is as staple as that. Hinechem kehayom. It means like the dead. Kechocheve hashamayim. And you like the stars that never go away. Fine. Now the next pasuk is one of the more famous pasukim in the Torah. It's used very often when we come to bless the Jewish people. We use this pasuk. It's the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Listen to these words. Today we're going to be discussing this pasuk. Adonai Elohe Avotechem. He says to them, Hashem, the God of your fathers, Yosef Alechem, he blesses them that Hashem should add onto them, Kachem, people like you, Elef Pe'amim. 1,000 times, 1,000-fold. Vibarech etchen. And he should bless you. Kasher diber lachem, like he spoke to you. Now these are very odd words. In the middle of rebuke. You're in the middle of rebuking somebody and telling him all the different things they did wrong. All of a sudden he says, I want to tell you something. Hashem should add on to you people like you. People like you. We're just telling you all the negative things that were done. What do you mean? You want to add more like you? How could that be? 1,000 times. So I'd like to read for you a midrash on this pasuk. From now on, when you see this pasuk, it will never look the same again. The Midrash says, Amar Ravaha, Yecholin Hayu Yisrael. The people of the time could have said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Anu Yesh Banu Ehad Mikol HaDebarim She'ata Mochihenu. I don't understand. What do we have to do with the golden calf? Remember, this is 40 years later. That generation all passed on. What does this history of negative actions have to do with us? We weren't involved in the golden calf. We did not complain by the Yam Suf. We did not send the Meraglim or complain by the Meraglim. You're talking to the wrong people. Am Yisrael, as they're listening to Moshe Rabbeinu, imagine someone is giving you all kinds of rebuke, and you didn't do it. Says the Midrash, they could have told Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't have these issues, and we should get rebuked from you for these things? Ela shatku. But they didn't say that. They kept quiet and listening. When it says they listen, it means they're paying attention. As if they were guilty of all these averot. When Moshe Rabbeinu was talking, if you could just imagine, as they're listening, they're going, you're right. The golden calf is a big problem. I don't know how we did that. You're right, how we complained on Yam Suf. What were we thinking? They're sitting there listening. If you would watch the stadium, you would see people scratching their head, trying to figure out how they did something wrong like that. Shatku, they kept quiet, and they're listening to Moshe Rabbeinu as if he's talking to them directly. I mean, he was talking to them. But they didn't do anything. But they kept quiet. Lefichach, says the Midrash, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu stopped in the middle of the rebuke and says, you people, Adonai Elohe Abotechem, such people that could listen to words of rebuke and they didn't do anything wrong and they're still paying attention and they're taking it to heart, Yosef Alechem Kachem. We need people like you. This is the prototype of greatness right there. Says the Midrash, Lefichach hu omer kachem. Someone exactly like this. Tzadikim ke Yosef Achem. Great people like you. Mekabelin tochahot, that accept rebuke and they keep quiet. That's what the pasuk is coming to bless them. Yosef Alechem Kachem. We need more people like you that can hear words of rebuke and can appreciate it. Now we have a hard enough time hearing words of rebuke when we did something wrong. Already Chachamim told us that it's very hard to find someone who is willing to accept somebody's criticism. But here we're seeing something else, something beyond that. That you have people accepting criticism for something they didn't do. And that requires a little bit of contemplation. We got to think about that. What does that mean? Why would I accept rebuke for something that I didn't do? Someone comes and gives me a few words about something that went wrong and thinks I did it. I didn't do it. Why would I listen and not say, Moshe, it wasn't us. Abraham, why are you talking to me like that? I wasn't even there. But yet we see there is some value here, which is hard to understand. We got to figure it out. There's a value of listening even though you didn't do it. Question is, what is the value? A story, a famous story on this subject, was a story of a young man who became the famous Rabbi Desfat Emet. Desfat Emet was a great, great Talmid Chacham, We have a lot of Torah today from the Sfat Emet. The Sfat Emet, when he was a young man, his father passed away. His grandfather was Hidushe Harim. Also a great Talmid Hacham. So basically his grandfather raised him. As a young man, he was serious about his studies. And one night, he stayed up all night with his Havruta learning. Maybe it was a Thursday night, people do that. So now, it's time almost for Shahrit. But of course, he was very tired. He didn't sleep all night. So he dozed on the shtender for a few minutes. Before you knew it, he realized he was a little bit late. So he ran to the minyan where they were praying shahrit. Of course, his grandfather was there. He saw him coming in a little bit late. And after the tefillah, his grandfather came over to him and really gave it to him. He told him, "You're coming late to shahrit."
It's hard today to imagine such a conversation. Today we call him, "Baruch Hashem, you came. You came in Alim L'Shabayab, great. It's good you showed up. Have some breakfast."
But different world, different people, different values. You thought, how are you walking late? He said, besides that it's wrong, but you're the grandson of the rabbi. If you're walking in late, what are other people going to be doing? And this Sfat Emet, he heard his grandfather. He accepted it and took it to heart. That was it. He says, "Thank you. I made a mistake. Got to fix it."
His Havruta was there listening to the conversation.
So afterwards, he took the Sfat Emet, his Havruta, to the side and said, "I don't understand.
Why don't you tell your grandpa that you're up learning all night?
You weren't sleeping. You weren't lazy. Is that what happened here? You were up all night learning and you dozed on your shtender. It's a perfect, perfect answer to your grandpa's criticism." The Sfat Emet told his Havruta at a young age. He told him, when a great person gives you rebuke, you don't try to answer, you listen to what he has to say. It's not a time to explain why you weren't doing wrong. It's a time to listen and accept the words for what they're worth. And he says, "I have a proof to this from what we saw in last week's parasha. Where we saw B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, they told Moshe Rabbeinu, we want to stay across the Jordan. We don't want to cross over to the land of Israel. We don't want to live there. We want to live here. It's good for us, this area. It's good for our business, good for our cattle." And over there, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he hears their request, it says he got, Pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe," he says to them, "Ha'achechem yavo'u la'milhama ve'atem teshivu bo." He says, "So your brothers should go fight in the land of Israel to capture it, and you're gonna stay here." Basically, why are you discouraging the people when they see that you chose to stay here and not to go take the land and fight for it? He says, "Ko'asu avotechem." That's what your fathers did. He's talking about the story of the Meraglim. When they didn't want to go, they were scared. He says, I'm skipping to the main words here. Vehine, says Moshe Rabbeinu, after a number of pesukim discussing the past, kamtem tahat avotechem, you now have come in place of your fathers. Your fathers did a terrible thing, a terrible mistake by not wanting to go to the land of Israel. And now you came in their seat. Tarbut anashim hatta'im. He says you are men of sinners. And you're coming, the last words of Moshe Rabbeinu is, v'shihatem lechol ha'am hazeh. You're coming to destroy our nation. He went on and on and on to tell them how terrible they are, that they don't want to go and fight. Afterwards, after he finished, they told him, Moshe Rabbeinu, we didn't say we're not going to fight. We just said, well, we're going to live here. Of course we're going to go fight. We're not going to come back to this place. We're going to leave our children here. We're going to leave our families here. And we're all going to fight. And we will not come back until the land has been captured and settled. In that case, Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, if that's what you're going to do, then you could stay here. Says the Sfat Emet, why would they not interrupt Moshe Rabbeinu while he's giving them all kinds of words of criticism about them staying and discouraging and repeating the mistake of the fathers before them and all? Why would they listen to that? The first words of Moshe Rabbeinu said they should say, wait, Moshe, you got a mistake. We are going. We're going to go fight. Why did they continue to listen even though they had an answer? Says the Sfat Emet. From there, we learn. When someone gives you rebuke, you listen. Even when it's wrong. That's a big deal. Wise people, when they hear rebuke, they listen and they pay attention. Like the Pasuk says in Mishle, listen to this Pasuk. Says Shlomo HaMelech in his infinite wisdom, Shema Etza, which means listen to advice. Vekabel musar, and accept words of rebuke. Notice the word change. When it came to aitza, when it came to advice, the words used are shema. Listen, understand, think about it. Someone gives you advice, hear it out. The kabel musar. But when it came to rebuke, he says, kabel. Kabel means accept it. It doesn't matter if it's applicable or not applicable specifically to what you've done. Kabel, accept it for what it is. The question really is, why? Now we see by Moshe Rabbeinu how Am Yisrael reacted, and he was so appreciative. He gave them the biggest beracha, the one that we use all the time to bless our people. Yosef Alechem Kachem Elef Pe'amin. We need people like this that can listen to rebuke even though they didn't do anything wrong. We see the Sfat Emet and Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. We see it from Shlomo HaMelech. The first thing we do when someone tells us we did something wrong is defend ourselves. And very often, we were wrong, but we still defend that. No, it wasn't exactly like that. I didn't get the whole story. Not true. Never happened. If someone's coming to get money from you, you could defend yourself. So you owe me money. She said, no, I don't owe you money. But if someone's just coming to tell you, by the way, I saw yesterday what you were doing. You spoke out of line to your father, I saw. Usually, in those cases, people will give you answers. I don't know what happened. You're around. Well, when did you come in? When people give us words of criticism, the wise people, they listen even if it never happened. So yesterday, when my father, I was out of town yesterday. I wasn't even here. Wise people will not say that. They will not say, I was out of town yesterday. They'll say, the way you spoke to your father was really not appropriate. The way you answered him, Zahir. Hey.
Kabil, I accept.
Why would that be a way of wisdom? Why should someone accept rebuke for something they didn't even do? That needs explanation. The Sefer HaChinuch, the great Sefer HaChinuch writes, by the mitzvah, we were commanded in the Torah not to take revenge. Lo tikom velo titor. Torah says, do not take revenge. Someone does wrong to you, do not take revenge against them. For example, he had 10 cars in the driveway and you asked to borrow one because you needed desperately to get something and he says, no, I don't lend my cars. I'm very picky like that.
People love to say those kind of things. I'm very picky like that, meaning I'm from the type of people that doesn't do this. It's not my fault. I just don't do those things. It's not my type. You want to borrow something else? Simha. Happiness. But my cars, I'm very particular with my cars. So therefore, of course, I can't let you borrow my car. It's simple.
The next day, he needs a car. Next day, comes over. I really need a car. Can I borrow your car?
I know what you would do. Says the Torah, be careful. Don't take revenge. Do not.
Not only you must give him the car, but you're not even allowed to tell him.
I'm not like you, by the way. Just want to tell you.
I hope you take a lesson from this. Now let's do that. You give him the car, besimha.
Of course. Why not? It's a car. People treat their car like it's olam haba. They can't give anyone a piece of it. It's a car.
Relax. Take it. No, I'm afraid. You might get into an accident. You also might get into an accident when you drive. What's the difference? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, how does a person have such control over their feelings? You needed something. The guy hurt you. The guy didn't help you. And now you're supposed to be what? A malach? Supposed to be an angel? Torah wasn't given to angels. It was given to humans that have feelings. I needed the guy, and he totally ignored me. Now I'm supposed to give it to him, besimha. The Sefer HaChinuch brings the great example of the Torah of not taking revenge. No greater example than Yosef HaTzadik, a man whose brothers if you looked at it on paper, destroyed his life for so many years. He's in Egypt, 12 years in jail, after being a slave and after being sold and almost killed. He didn't do anything wrong. If someone could have reason to take revenge against anyone, it would be Yosef to his brothers, and he had the chance. He was in full power. He was able to do whatever he wants. He did not forget what they did to him. But yet Yosef doesn't take any revenge, treats them like brothers who have all love and ahava for each other. And the key words is what Yosef tells his brothers, Lo atem shelachtem oti ena. If you're wondering how I could have no ill feelings towards you for all the pain and suffering that you've caused me all these years, if you're wondering, is this real? Is this man for real? What is he really doesn't care. He really wants to treat us with love and shower us with blessings. In fact, you see that even after, years later, when Yaakov passed away, they were scared that now he's going to take revenge. They didn't believe him all these years. They thought for sure he's out to get us. But maybe when our father's here, he doesn't want to do anything to hurt him. But now that he's gone, this is the moment. They had to go tell him a lie. They made up something that their father said that he should take care of them. So you see that they couldn't believe it. Yosef tells them, he knew they couldn't believe it. So he tells them, this is real. You know why it's real? Because lo atem shelachtem oti ena. Because you did not send me to Egypt. You did not cause me to become a slave. That's not what you did. You don't run the world. Hashem is with me. If Hashem wants me here, that's why I'm here. It's not because of you. You may have done something wrong to take action against me. You have to answer yourself to the Creator. That's your problem. That's your account. But nobody can help me or hurt me without the Creator signing off. He wants me here. I never had a thing against you. Not now and not before. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, how does a person not take revenge? He says, when you realize that whatever happened is not because of him. Whatever happened is what Hashem wanted for you. And if Hashem wants it for you, it's for good reason. Look at the story of Yosef and what came out of it. There was good reason behind it. Hashem wanted to take Yosef on a ride, on a trip, on a journey to create something great. How Hashem chose to do it, he's smarter than us. If someone didn't give you the car, it's because you're not supposed to have a car right now. Ava, you missed the appointment. You could have gotten a tremendous order that now is gone because he didn't give you the car. No. You didn't get it because you're not supposed to get it. That's the way it works. Revenge means you don't see that Hashem is running your world and your life. That's the story of Yosef. And that's the story of our lives. There's so many situations in life that we have feelings. If only the guy would have done, wouldn't have done, would have said, would have not said. I would have been this, I would have been that, my children would have been, I would have not lost this, I would have gained that. So many different hashbonot. It's all nonsense. few years ago, I was involved in a dispute between two people. This must have been 5-6 years ago. One guy was claiming his friend owed him $10 million. And the guy says, I don't know what you're talking about.
Kevin, what a start.
So what actually happened? So this guy, he lent him, I think it was $500,000. And he wanted it back because he wanted to buy a certain stock, expecting the stock to go. So the stock did go flying, but it went flying without him. Because he never gave him back the money. So he couldn't buy the stock, which would have been worth $10 million. But I hear him. I understand him. He was going to buy the stock. He just needed the money. He didn't get back then. But a believer of Hashgaha, who knows how the world runs, doesn't say, oh, you, because of you, I don't have $10 million. It's not true. You did your best. It didn't work out. Hashem doesn't want you to have it. Oh, but I almost had it. Doesn't matter. Almost means you didn't get it. Life would be so much more enjoyable when people have such a mindset. Because unfortunately, there are many, many, many times in life where we're playing the what-if game and how, what could have happened, what should have happened, and if only, and if... And very often it has to do with other people not doing what we think they should have done and could have done. Terrible lifestyle of living with revenge. You have no idea, by the way, how applicable this halakha is in life. Revenge is something that's very often practiced without even realizing it's called revenge. For example, someone didn't come to your daughter's wedding. He invites you to his daughter's wedding. You tell your wife, I'm not going. Why are you not going? You always go to wedding.
You don't come to my wedding.
I go to his wedding.
Oh. Revenge.
There are many, many things that we do day to day that we don't even realize is acts of vengeance. Once we know this principle of the Sefer HaChinuch, we can help ourselves in our subject today. Just like Hashem controls if I make $10 million or not, and has nothing to do with the guy paying me back or not, and just like if I'm supposed to be in jail for 12 years, so be it, has nothing to do with the guy who actually put me there, so too when it comes to rebuke. If you heard something that you did wrong, even though you say, but I didn't do it. But guess what? Hashem wanted you to hear it. Hashem wants you to hear that you shouldn't disrespect your father like that. You're right, you weren't there yesterday. But that's irrelevant. Because criticism is not about the past. Criticism is about the future. What's the difference if you actually told your father something wrong or you didn't? What is the difference?
What's relevant is, don't do it anymore. Don't do it again. Is that not relevant to you? It's not relevant to you that you shouldn't say the wrong words to a person in the hallway? It's not relevant to you that you shouldn't get angry? You're right, specifically in that instance, it didn't happen. So what? So what you didn't do the golden calf? So what? But shouldn't you get the message that you should never do things like that? Rebuke is not about the past. That's a huge message. Criticism is not about what happened. That's not why I tell you that you did something wrong. I'm not here to come and tell you that you're a bad guy. I'm trying to help you be a good guy. So what's the difference if I'm accurate or not? Why is that the reaction? No, you don't know. It's not really what happened. Why do you have to defend yourself? I'm not coming to incriminate you. I've come to help you. What an unbelievable mindset. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, these are the people that succeed in life. That when they hear something, they say, okay, how does it apply? You know, I shouldn't do that. So often, we may not have done that, but we did this. You're right, on Thursday we didn't do it, but we did it Wednesday. What do we resolve when we say it wasn't exactly how it happened? What a principle in life. The next time your wife yells at you and gives you a name that you didn't like, it's gonna happen. She probably doesn't mean it. Maybe she was angry. Maybe she was nervous. For whatever reason, she said something out of line about you. What's the first thing you do? What? Either you defend yourself, not true, or you tell her, and you? What a healthy conversation this is. Believe it or not, I'm not speaking for myself, but great people in such a situation will actually listen and say, I have to get better at that. You're right. I hear you. I understand. You gotta be a very big man to do that. But that's why Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's the blessing. That's the blessing for big people. That they can hear something and they realize it's not even coming from them. That word didn't even come from your wife. That's from Shamayim. You think your wife could say words to hurt you? Never. Hashem signed off on that. He wants you to hear it. It doesn't matter if it actually happened or not. He wants you to know it. It's a whole new way of understanding criticism and rebuke from others. That's why Shlomo HaMelech says, Kabel Musar. When it comes to advice, someone gives you advice, think it over. Assess it. Make sure it makes sense. Make sure it's right. Make sure it's workable. When it comes to rebuke with Musar, forget that. Forget Shema. Just accept it. That's your first mission. Take it and see what you could do with it. You know, there's a very powerful idea that's worthwhile just to mention as we're here. A powerful idea that says, it's written in the Holy Sfarim, that in Shamayim, when you see you're walking down the street and you see someone doing something inappropriate, you see someone yelling at his mother, You didn't expect it. It wasn't something you were going out to look at. The holy books write that if you experience such a moment when you see others doing something wrong, it's not accidental that you saw that. You saw it, they wanted you to see it, so you could look yourself in the mirror and see yourself doing the same thing. We're not talking if you're going somewhere that you know they do bad things. We're not talking about that.
Let's say, God forbid, you go to a street with you on Mehalel Shabbat. We're not talking about it.
But if you saw Hilul Shabbat in a way that wasn't planned, you happened to be walking on Shabbat somewhere, and you saw a guy in his car. Oh, there's a reason why you saw them. Because they're talking to you about your Shabbat. There's something in your Shabbat. Maybe you don't drive cars on Shabbat, but you got other things to fix on Shabbat. It's not accidental that you saw a guy driving on Shabbat. It's not what you expected. It's not where you went to look. If you saw a person doing something wrong unexpectedly, meaning you weren't looking for it, and then you saw it, that's min hashamayim. They're talking to you. Maybe you're not guilty of the same exact act, but if you looked into it, you might be guilty of something very similar. Maybe don't yell at your father like that, but maybe you don't talk the way you're supposed to. What an unbelievable rule. The Sfat Emet, back to the Sfat Emet. The Sfat Emet brings this in a beautiful explanation of a pasuk that's not the literal explanation, but it's like a remez, it's a beautiful hint that you could take from the pasuk. The literal pasuk is talking about a person who finds a lost object. We know when you find a lost object, you have to pick it up and return it. Find the rightful owner. As the pasuk says, Hashev teshivem le'achicha. Hashev teshivem, go find him. Don't give it back to him. The word hashev means to return. But listen to the Sfat Emet. The Sfat Emet says, lo tir'eh. The pasuk begins, lo tir'eh et shor achicha. Do not watch as your brother's ox, o etzeo, or his sheep, nidahim, are lost. Vehit alam tamehim, and just ignore them. You see your friend's ox, your friend's sheep, your friend's lost object. Don't make believe you didn't see anything. You're saying to yourself, what do I use headache for? To go now, pick up the item. Go return it. So I make believe I didn't see it. We do that very often, not only in lost objects. Says it for that, be careful, don't do that. Rather, Hashev teshivem le'achicha. Make sure you pick it up and return it to your friend. Good simple halacha of returning lost objects. But says this Sfat Emet, listen to these words. Says the Sfat Emet, lo tir'eh et shor achicha, you could learn it means, when you see your friend acting like a shor, don't see shor achicha, don't see your brother who's acting like an ox, he's acting like an animal, he's talking like a behemah, he's acting like a shor, lo tir'eh, don't see your friend acting inappropriately, behit alam tamehem, and say, what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with me that he's cursing? What does that have to do with me that he's driving on Shabbat? What does that have to do with me that he's eating the wrong things? What does that have to do with me? You're right, I saw it. Lo tir'eh, says the Torah, don't see it and ignore it. Hashem. Hashem means, says Fahimet, make teshuvah. You make teshuvah. You saw a guy driving on Shabbat, you make teshuvah for your issues on Shabbat. You saw a guy not respecting his father, you make teshuvah. Hashem! And when you make teshuvah, says his Sfat Emet,
teshivim. Then the people will make teshuvah. The first thing we do when we see someone doing wrong is we try to make them make teshuvah. But says the Sfat Emet, you got to make teshuvah first. You saw something wrong. You have the same problem. Maybe not exact, but something that you have to fix. So Hashem and such a reality will cause teshivim. Of course, the Torah says, when you see someone doing wrong, rebuke him, tell him. But in reality, in real reality of life, it's very hard to do that mitzvah. Very hard. People don't know how to give rebuke. People don't know how to accept rebuke. To go tell someone you're doing wrong, it's very, very difficult to do it. You can't even do your own children. It's so hard. But says the Sfat Emet, this is a maybe more realistic way for us. That when we see our son doing something wrong, Hashem, maybe look in the mirror. Maybe there's something about what he does that you also do. Again, not exactly, not the way, not the same color, not the same day. Look at it, see it. Hashem shows you the mirror in other people. He uses other people to show you things you don't see in yourself. It's so easy to see the wrong by others, by ourselves. We don't see anything wrong. So how is Hashem going to remind us of things that are wrong in us if we don't see our own issues? Very simple. He shows us issues by other people. He'll show you this guy's lashon hara. He'll show you this guy's anger. He'll show you this guy's issue here, this guy's issue there. The way he spoke to his wife, the way he's handling himself on vacation, the way he's doing business, the way. For Hashem to point out in you, you're blind to yourself. You don't see it, you're perfect. So therefore Hashem, make sure that you get to see others. Now, of course, the first reaction when you see others, oh, they're bad, terrible people. Says the Torah, no. If you say terrible people, that you missed the boat. You missed the message. The hit alamtar. You're living in a world of illusion. Look into yourself. See what is wrong there, how it applies here. Such an unbelievable thing that rebuke is from Shamayim. When you see wrong, it's a message to yourself. Some explain that's the difference between Paro and Egypt and the king of Sodom and his country Sodom. We see Paro was the king of Egypt at the time of Avraham Avinu. Not a very strong society, the lowest of the low. Avraham Avinu is given a gift by Paro. Avraham takes it. Sodom, from the lowest of the low. Avraham deserves all the money of Sodom because he saved them in a world war. They were done. They gave him money. He said, I will never take from you. How come? By Paro he took. By Avraham, by Sodom he didn't take. And how come Sodom got wiped out for eternity, but Egypt remained? How come what happened to Sodom didn't happen to Mitzrayim? So some point to an interesting part of the story. By Sodom, we see when the angels came to Lot and the people of Sodom went crazy. How could you have guests in your home? What do you think you are? You're coming here destroying our country. We have rules here. No guests. We don't help people from the outside. Sodom first. That's how it works over there. Take care of ourselves. What are you bringing people from the outside? Who cares, matter? And they came, the Pasuk says, the people of the city came to knock on Lot's door and make sure that this doesn't happen. The Pasuk says that Hashem sent through the angels blindness. The people on the outside, they start losing their sight. They can't see. Hikuban sandarim.
They were hit with blindness. Could you imagine? The older, there were thousands of people around the house. It says all the people of Sodom came to this. It was a huge demonstration.
Listen to the words of the Pasuk. The people that were by the door outside, Hikuba Sanverim, they got hit with blindness. Mikaton ve'agadol,
from the smallest to the biggest. Key words, ready? Three words. Vayil'u limtso ha'patah. And they were struggling to find the door. Says the Sephorno. What does that mean? They're struggling to find the door. They just got hit with blindness. They can't even see anymore.
Says the Sephorno.
Even though they got hit with blindness in that moment,
Tarhu, they're still
looking to go and fight with Lot.
Like the words of Hachamim says as Forno, Reshaim, afilu omdim bepitho shel Gehinam.
Reshaim, even if they're on the step, the doorstep of Gehinam, enam hozrim betshuva, they still don't make a change. You're demonstrating. You get hit with blindness. You're still looking to go fight.
That's why Sodom is out. Because they don't get the message. You could do wrong in life, but take the message. By Parah, when Hashem told him that she's a married woman, give her back. Done. Big difference between Parah and his reaction, as the Pasuk says, by Naga Adonai et Paro, Negaim Gedolim, when he took Sarah, it says that Hashem sent Paro terrible plagues on his family, on him. Al Debar Sarai Eshet Avram, she's the wife of a man, Avram. Right away, by Yikra Paro le Avram, he told him, take her back. That's the difference between two societies that were of moral deficiency, bankrupt. But at least one got the message, at least for the moment. But one didn't. This is the story of our lives. So much we could learn about ourselves from what we see around us. I'll end off with a story. I told you the story once before. A story of a very, very wealthy, successful doctor, physician. Very successful, and he was also very full of himself. So one day he was driving in his very fancy car around the city, and he sees the rabbi of the city waiting for someone to pick him up or maybe walking somewhere. So he put the window down and says, Rabbi, can I take you somewhere? Can I give you a lift? The rabbi, yeah, I'm going somewhere. I don't mind. If you don't mind, okay. Gets in the car. Doctor says, okay, what a great opportunity. I get the rabbi, the chief rabbi is here. Talk to him about what I do. Says, Rabbi, you know I'm a doctor, right? I help a lot of people. So the rabbi says, oh, wow, I also do that. Also do that. Sorry, is that not a doctor? The rabbi, why do you say that?
Okay.
Maybe he meant he heals people spiritually. He says, you know, Rabbi, when people come to me and sometimes they can't afford to pay me, you know what I do? I tell them, I do it from my heart. No worries. No charge. Rabbi says, wow, I also do that.
What is he saying? But what? He doesn't get.
Well, maybe people sometimes pay the rabbi, maybe they don't pay sometimes. He says, Rabbi, you know, sometimes the people don't really have any money to buy medicine. So would you believe that I actually go to the pharmacist and get them the medicine? I pay for it and I give them the medicine. The rabbi says, wow, I also do that.
And the guy's going crazy. Tata gets loses it.
He says, Rabbi, stop! You're not a doctor! What are you talking about? Every time I tell you something, you tell me I also do that.
He says, let me explain something to you. He said, when you told me how many people you help, I realized that I also like to tell people how many people I help. I also do that. That's the way of life. Instead of looking at the guy and saying, what a terrible guy. Hashem, you, I also do that. You also do that.
Maybe you're not a doctor, you're a rabbi, but you do the same thing. What a way to live life. Like such people who can accept, even when it's not relevant to them and it never happened to them, but they say, I also do that. In a different way, in a different color, but I do that too. And they make Hashem, they take the message.
This is one of the great principles of success in life.